T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Time now for the nightcap on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome into the nightcap, Jody Biasi. I'm back after no show yesterday because of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Kyle, how'd the Major League Baseball All-Star Game go? I heard there was a home run at the end that tied it, apparently.
It looked like a home run derby.
Really?
10.
So then I would have liked it.
10 home runs.
Is that a
10
lot?
Innings.
That's a lot.
It broke the previous record by 4. Mm. So, yeah.
So more, almost doubled it up.
There were 14 runs scored, one of which did not come by a home run. There was 13 runs coming in via the long ball, one by a sacrifice fly off the bat of Michael Brantley, I believe, which extended the American League lead in the 10th.
Gotcha. Nice. But
bunch of superstars in action. Aaron Judge homered. Mike Trout homered.
And Judge was the one who had the game tire, right?
No, he hit the first home run of the day.
Oh, the first
in
one.
In the second inning. Scooter right. Jeanette of the Cincinnati Reds. One of my favorite nicknames of baseball these days.
Scooter
Jeanette. Game tying home run off Mariners closer Edwin Sugar Diaz.
Wow, these are great names.
See?
And tonight's the ESPYs. T.O. is on the screen right now. Power couple just walking in right before Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers. They're already handing out some awards. Terrence Crawford, boxer, won Fighter of the Year. There was somebody that they awarded Best Olympic Female Athlete right before that. So like they're giving out some of those I don't want to call them not important awards, but these aren't the ones that people are paying to see. If people are even paying to get in the ESPYs, might just be all athletes and sponsors and such. It's a nightcap, Jody Biasi, Kyle Powell here tonight. It's a Mike Jafari Wednesday, but he's on his way. He's coming. He's coming in. Also, Kyle, you'll have to help me out with this too. The Great. Manny Machado stuff, everything that's going down, and now I'm seeing another report from Bleacher Report that says he is heading to the Dodgers for 5 prospects. So, like, where are we sitting with this whole Manny Machado thing?
Sounds like it's going to happen now. I was just looking up something from John Heyman, who writes for FanRag Sports. As it turns out, it looked to be done last night. It was very weird because I've seen players get announced that they've been traded to another team during regular season games, but I think this is the first time that I've seen a player get traded during the All-Star game, which he was partaking in.
Okay.
I got an update around 10:30 when the game was still going that he was getting dealt to the Dodgers, and it was still looking like that up until the morning, and then around 2:30, 3 o'clock, Baltimore's camp got some cold feet because they did not like how some of the physicals looked of some of the prospects that they were going to be acquiring from L.A., which is not out of character from Baltimore. I ended up looking up a story because it rang a bell in my head. They have extensive history of backing out of deals or not signing free agents because they don't like the way that their physicals come back. They're very, very strict with these rationales. And they have been for 20, 30 years.
Gotcha. T.O. is now speaking on ESPN. I'm very interested to know what he's talking about. Hopefully that'll come across Twitter at some point, or maybe even we can get the audio of that at some point later on in the show. He, of course, is going to try to play in the CFL. I've got thoughts on the whole T.O. situation. I've got strong thoughts on the whole T.O. situation, but probably for another night, maybe around Hall of Fame time, the induction ceremony. I think it's next week. A couple weeks away. Yeah, because training camp begins next week. The Ravens just opened up today, actually. They're in the Hall of Fame game against the Bears. They're playing the Bills in week one of the regular season. I'm not sure if that really gives them much of an advantage. If you want to say it does, go ahead. It's an extra week of practice. I don't really care either way. I think they're the same team. They're Joe Flacco, a quarterback. And that's my transition into quarterback matchups for the Bills. When we're looking at what they went up against last season, what they're going to go up against this season on the schedule, and really where does this team sit across the league looking at their quarterback, short-term, long-term. Because the future rankings that ESPN did yesterday were kind of bogus. It was pointed out on our station, Sal did, that they're pretty much the same rankings as their normal power rankings. So I wouldn't put too much stock into that, but it got me thinking about, okay, if this league is so quarterback dependent, and if I were going to make future rankings on who the best teams in the league are going to be 3 years from now, the Bills would have a pretty decent shot at being high on that list. You'd have to think they're either really high on that list or they're really low on that list. Because if Allen turns out to be great with his physical abilities, you're probably one of the best teams in the NFL. If he flames out and is terrible, then he's probably out of the league in a couple years, and that means the Bills are sitting right back at the bottom of the league. So I don't know where I fall into that. I would tend to think they're going to end up on the lower end of a ranking like that, just because I think it's unlikely that Allen reaches that high ceiling. Maybe he does. I think it's unlikely. So when I'm looking around, I'm looking at the division, and there's Brady and then just a lot of stuff. There's average quarterbacks, average starting quarterbacks, backups, like legit backups. And then there's not even a lot of, you know, there's those journeymen too in there. And then I was comparing the Bills quarterbacks that they faced last season versus what they faced this season. And to me, that is part of the reason that I think this team is going to regress from last year. And it really is. Look at the quarterbacks they beat last year. They beat Josh McCown, who no one in the right mind, like, he had a good season last year, but no one in the right mind is going to say he's one of the league's best quarterbacks. You would say he's average to below average, and that would probably be kind for most people. He's been a backup for 90% of his career. They beat Josh McCown. They beat Trevor Siemian. Then they beat Matt Ryan. That was the good one. They beat Matt Ryan, the reigning MVP. He had a little bit of a down year, but still a very good quarterback. Then they beat Jameis Winston, who's been kind of iffy throughout his career, but pretty good. Same with Derek Carr. I would say same as Winston. Pretty good. I would both call them above average, but they're not elite quarterbacks. Those were their three good quarterback wins last year. Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr. All right, you got some good ones there. But I already mentioned McCown and Siemian. And now Alex Smith, who is like the poster boy for average quarterback, for game manager. They beat Jacoby Brissett, who's going to be a backup again this season. They beat Jay Cutler, who was flaming out in his career in Miami, not playing well, and Miami's like nowhere now, partially because of that. And then David Fales, who played the last game of the season. You had never heard of him before that game. Be honest with yourself. McCown, Siemian, Brissett, Cutler, Fales. That is five quarterbacks that very possibly, McCown I'm saying very possibly because the other four are pretty much guarantees, will not be starting this year to start the year, 2018. For sure, four guys you played last year will not be playing. Cutler retired. Fales is going to be fighting for a roster spot in Miami. Brissett's going to be the backup, is assuming luck is fine. It seems like he'll be fine for week one. And Trevor Siemian's in Minnesota, now the backup to Kirk Cousins. And injuries do happen. So I'm looking at the schedule now for this upcoming season. Maybe you'll play some guys that you didn't expect to play. That will happen. A couple. But is it going to happen five times? That was just the wins. That was just the wins. This year, running through the quarterbacks, just looking through the schedule, the first half of the season is brutal. The second half is all right. Like, average, there's average guys. There's Brady in there, of course. But, like, the first half of the season, the Bills have an insanely tough schedule when it comes to quarterbacks, I would say. Their week one matchup, to me, is the easiest one they're going to get until the bye week. Or not the bye week, until the midway point of the season. Joe Flacco week one. I'm not a big Joe Flacco fan at all. I think he's a below-average quarterback in the league, but he is hot and cold, so you could catch him on a hot day. That's, to me, that's your best matchup you get early part of the season. Then you play Phillip Rivers. All right, probably a Hall of Famer. Maybe Hall of Famer. Is it Hall of Famer? Is that fair to say?
I think with his track record.
Phillip Rivers?
Body of work.
No Super Bowl, but I don't think that should matter as much, but...
Well, by that logic, then Joe Flacco is a Hall of Famer.
Okay, now we need to stop. Because he... Oh, God. That's... I can't get sidetracked here. I can't get sidetracked here. I will not. Okay. Kirk Cousins, week three. Pretty good. On a really good team now. He'll probably be even better than he was last year. Then you've got Aaron Rodgers. Then you've got Marcus Mariota, who's pretty good. Maybe that would even be more favorable than Flacco, but Mariota's pretty good. Then you've got Deshaun Watson, who exploded last year in his rookie season. Then you have Andrew Luck, who, if healthy, is one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And then you have Tom Brady. Flacco, Rivers, Cousins, Rodgers, Mariota, Watson, Luck, Brady. That's the first half of the season. It is very likely, you go into every single one of those matchups having a worse quarterback. The caveat to that is Josh Allen showing up and catching lightning in a bottle and just being amazing right out the bat. But if it's AJ McCarron starting, if it's Nathan Peterman starting, or even if it's Josh Allen starting, he just doesn't do that. You are walking into all eight of those games having a worse quarterback in a quarterback league. And that's a big reason why I think this team is going to regress. Now, maybe they make up for that in the second half of the year. But that can be tough. The Jets, remember 2 years ago, they were coming off 10-6. Maybe you don't remember this. They were coming off 10-6 with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They brought him back, and then they were like, all right, we're going to go for this thing again. And if you remember, the first six games of their schedule that year was the toughest in the NFL. The Jets, really, they were pretty much the same team that they were before. But sometimes your success can be schedule dependent. So the Jets walked into that season, this was 2016, and I think they lost four of those first six. I might be a little off on that, but they had a really rough start to the year. There was a game in there where Fitzpatrick threw like five interceptions against the Chiefs. They weren't winning games because of their schedule. And to me, that's kind of what the Bills have this year. So you could say, all right, maybe they'll make up for it in the second half of the year. Because their quarterback matchups, especially, does get a little bit lighter as we get into the second half. And then you got to remember, there's a lot of home games in the second half of the season. After they go on the bye, they have four of their last six at home. And after I mentioned that last couple games there in that first half of the year was super tough, Watson, Luck, Brady, after that, it does get lighter. You play Trubisky, who the jury's still out on. I'm not very high on him. And a lot of people aren't. Some people are. Some people are expecting progression in Chicago. But no one in their right mind is going to tell you Mitch Trubisky's a elite quarterback right now. Then you've got the Jets. That could be McCown. That could be Bridgewater. That could be Darnold. Darnold could be great. But as a rookie, yeah, as a rookie. And then the other two are just kind of average guys in the league. Then you've got Blake Bortles. That's not the thing in Jacksonville that scares you. So that's a pretty favorable quarterback matchup. Ryan Tannehill, who historically the Bills have dominated. Has Ryan Tannehill ever had a good game against the Buffalo Bills? Then you play the Jets again. Then you've got the couple tough ones. You've got Matt Stafford and you've got Tom Brady. And then you go Tannehill again. A little bit lighter in the second half of the year. But what happens if you're already 2-6 by that point? If you're even 3-5. Sometimes you can't make up for the losses you had in the beginning part of the season because it'll feel like it's over if it's 2-6. If you're even 3-5, it will feel like it's over around here. And then probably all we're talking about, unless he's already in, is when are they putting Josh Allen in the lineup? That will be what the season is about at that point. And that's kind of how I predict this season's going to go. They've got a super tough beginning of the year. They've got super tough quarterback matchups in the first half of the year. I would be surprised if they win more than three of those first eight games. And then all the season is about at that point is what's happening with Josh Allen. Does he look like the real deal? If he's not in the lineup, why isn't he in the lineup and when is he getting in it? So I think schedule is not favorable for the Bills this season, and that's a big reason why I think we're going to see some regression from them this year as opposed to last year. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to hop in on the conversation. We'll start the segment off with Mark. Mark, you're on the Nightcap. What's going on, man?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How about you?
I agree.
Uh-oh, Mark, you still there?
But I think the regression is going to almost be equalized because don't you believe the defense is going to be that much better, that you're going to see the defense that played against Jacksonville and should be even better because we're going to got a couple guys on the line, and now you're going to have Trumaine Edmonds back there who's going to be our Luke Kuechly. And I think you're going to have a so much better defense that they're going to carry us, and hopefully the offense can just help us out a little bit. But I'm looking like you. I'm kind of thinking maybe 7-9-ish just because of the schedule.
Okay, that's reasonable. I can get on board with that. Thanks, Mark, for the call. I tend to think that they're going to be a couple wins less than 7. I'm still trying to figure out where I exactly am going to land on that. I said 4 last week. Actually, I said 3 last week, then I bumped it up to 4. Day by day, I'm kind of feeling a little bit different on where they end up. But like 7, I don't even think I've gotten to 7. That's not unrealistic. I think that is their over-under win total is 6.5, so I think they are going to fall in around that number. The point Mark makes there, though, about the defense picking up the offense, I do think the defense will be improved. They were near the bottom of the league last year in efficiency, especially against the run. And will Edmonds just come in and automatically be a star player that's going to be an upgrade over Preston Brown? I can't just assume that. First of all, he's a rookie. And second of all, Preston Brown, like, he wasn't awful. He wasn't great. He was fine. He was fine. So what does a rookie linebacker give you in year one? Was Luke Kuechly even a superstar year one? I don't really remember enough. I think that's a position where it seems like you're not a superstar right away.
Yeah, I feel like you're on the right track.
So maybe he just gives you what Preston Brown gave you last year, and that would be a pretty good sign because at 20 years old, if he's already as good as Preston Brown, who led the league in tackles, that's a pretty good start. And you know what? Because he's huge and super athletic, maybe he does show up and just give you an instant upgrade at middle linebacker. Is that enough, though, to carry the whole team? They will be better on defense, I think. Lotulelei being in the middle of that defensive line, I think, was probably their most significant upgrade on the team. They had Adolphus Washington and Cedric Thornton splitting snaps last year in the middle after Darius left, and their run defense just was dreadful. So adding a guy who's not a star player, he's never made a Pro Bowl, but he's good. He's a good player. He almost kind of reminds me of the Micah Hyde signing last year. When Micah Hyde played in Green Bay, he was a good player. And then he showed up here in an expanded role and was just great, phenomenal. So maybe that happens with the Tulele, and I think at worst you're getting a good player that's going to be an upgrade in the middle of the defensive line. But I do not think that those upgrades on defense will make up for how poor they are on offense. I just don't see how this team moves the ball. How do you keep up with those quarterbacks that I just mentioned? How do you keep up with them? If McCoy's not in the lineup, you're certainly not doing it. And even if he is, you got to be dynamic in your offense. You can't be one-dimensional. And unless Allen comes in and catches fire, I don't see how this is some prolific passing offense. They have a downgraded offensive line. They're the same at tight end. They are downgraded at wide receiver. Maybe the same if Curley gives you something similar to what Deontay Thompson gave you last year. And then at running back, you're pretty much the same if McCoy's healthy. Maybe it's a slight upgrade, Chris Ivory over Mike Tolbert, but that's not some impact player that's going to change your offense from below average, what it was last year, to good. I don't see how this offense is good. How are they going to rank in the top half of the NFL in offense this year? How does that happen? McCoy would have to run for 1,800 yards. or Josh Allen would have to throw for 4,000. And those are two numbers I just cannot see happening. Because I don't think Ivory's coming in here and running for... like, he's not giving you some compliment to McCoy that Tyrod Taylor and Carlos Williams and Mike Gillisley were giving you combined in a couple years ago. I don't think that's happening. And your receiving core is one guy right now. It's Kelvin Benjamin, who is, again, similar to Laetule to me. He's good, but I don't think he's a great player. I think he's good. On a really good team, he's your number two wide receiver. But he is by far the number one receiver on this team right now. And on the afternoon show today, a guy called in about Jeremy Curley being hopeful this guy can show up and be their number two wide receiver. Look where we are at with wide receiver. That people are hoping that Jeremy Curley can do it. That guy was a journeyman. He was a fourth wide receiver on the Jets a couple years ago. The Jets have been awful at wide receiver. Like, where has he been? Jeremy Curley? God, I mean, I just hope one day in the near future, while this quarterback is still trying to figure things out, and we're still trying to help this quarterback become a franchise guy and reach his ceiling, that you've got some weapons that are better than Jeremy Curley. Where are my Tyreek Hills? Where's my Marquise Goodwin? Where's my guy that can stretch the field? I don't have that. Where's my dynamic run after the catch wide receiver? I don't have any of these guys. Who's the guy you throw a screen to out in the open? Especially if McCoy is not on the field. Do they have a guy on the offense that you can throw a screen pass to and say, yeah, he might take that 25 yards? Who is that player? You might get to the tight end first at Charles Clay. And that is a joke when you're talking about offense in the NFL if your tight end is your most dangerous threat for yards after the catch. Maybe he's not. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he might be. He'd be pretty high up on that list. 803-0550 is the phone number. What do you think about this Bills season? Do you think that the quarterback schedule is just too daunting for them to get over the hump in the beginning of the year? It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Kyle Powell. We will hear from Eric Winston, president of the NFL Players Association, former Bengals offensive lineman. So he played with A.J. McCarron. I've been looking for insight on McCarron because I've only seen him a couple games, probably like a lot of you, because he's only played a couple games. And Winston played with McCarron, and he used an interesting term to describe him that I have not heard thrown around with McCarron's name. So that gave me a little bit of hope that maybe even he could be average to above average at the quarterback position this year. We'll play Winston back coming up next at 8:30. We are going to play back Greg Brady, who was on the afternoon show today from Sportsnet 590, talking about the Kawhi Leonard situation, the big trade up in Toronto. That's all coming your way next. It's the Nightcap right here on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap on WGR. Jody Biasi and the Powells are in the boardroom, Victor and Kyle, talking about the Bills and my low expectations for them this season. Their schedule's daunting. Their quarterback matchups are tough. I'm going to rank the quarterbacks in the AFC East. I got a little sidetracked last segment, so I'll get to that in the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. Find out where I have the Bills quarterbacks slotted in there. Think about where you might have them, too. You can give me your thoughts on that. But really, I'm looking for, if you've got it, give me a reason to be optimistic about this season. Because I want to be optimistic about this season. Like, I can't wait for training camp to start next week. I even can't wait for the first preseason game. That'll die off probably by the first half of, the second series of that preseason game. But I can't even wait for that. And I was thinking to myself last week, when Brad Reiter was in here, filling in for Mike Shope and the Bulldog during the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament, he does the UB football pregame, postgame, and he was in here talking about the Bulls, and I thought to myself, man, I might be more excited about the UB football season this year than the Bills. And that's probably me just drinking a lot of the Tyree Jackson and UB Kool-Aid, but the fact that UB's got a kid that could be like a first-round pick at quarterback is super exciting to me. And I want to feel optimistic about the Bills. I'm excited for the Bills right now. I would not say, though, I'm optimistic about them. So give me a reason to think I should be optimistic. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's start with Brendan. Brendan, you're on the nightcap. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks. Pretty good.
My call.
Yep, no problem.
Here's my optimism for the Bills. And it really, first of all, we have to have LeSean McCoy.
Right.
To do as well as I think we could do. And the other part is the unknowns, like Brandon Riley and Rod Streeter and Austin Prohl. If these guys, I don't think I've ever seen Brandon Riley drop a pass.
And have you ever seen him catch a pass?
About a year ago. He runs a 4, I think it's like a 4-3. True.
I don't think that's right.
And he plays as well as I think he could, or as much as well as he did in a preseason last year, although he got suited up for game 15 last year.
Right.
I think it's the unknowns, but if they play as well as we've seen them play, I think that depending on who's quarterback, and I think the quarterbacks have a lot to prove this year.
Sure.
I think we could easily be a 9-7 team.
Brennan, thanks for the call. First of all, Riley, sure, I've never seen Brandon Riley drop a pass either, but I can't tell you how many I've seen him catch either. I'm trying to think back to the preseason. Like, there was a touchdown he caught against the Eagles, and that might be the only play I remember from him. I remember fans loving him. I remember even myself being enthralled with the idea of, like, this guy should make the team. And he ran a 4.47, by the way. He did not run a 4.3. 4.3 is, like, Tyreek Hill speed or Chris Johnson way back in the day speed. I need another name other than Tyreek Hill, like elite fast player in the league. Who's an elite fast player in the league? Because every time I say that, I use Tyreek Hill as my example, and there's got to be other guys. Antonio Brown, but he's easy. God, who are the other guys? Who are the DeSean Jackson, but he's kind of old. He's still fast.
Vic says Mike Wallace.
He's another old guy. All right, I'll try to think of some more of those as we go along here. Let's keep the calls going. Go to Jonathan in Alden. Jonathan, you're on the nightcap.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for the show.
Thanks.
The only thing I keep you optimistic, on paper, I really have no reason to be optimistic. However, last summer, everyone was saying, oh, the Bills are going 4-12. Last summer, I don't think anybody thought the Bills were going to make the playoffs. So maybe they'll surprise us this year. But ultimately, I'm partially hoping for a reversal last year where the Sabres make the playoffs and the Bills tank, especially if Josh Allen's a bust. So I would be perfectly okay if the Bills tank and get a high draft pick. What do you think?
Would I be fine with the Bills having a top pick right now? I don't know. Because like I said, I'm not optimistic. Like you said you're not optimistic on paper. I'm not optimistic on paper. I'm not willing, though, to sit here and just say just because they proved people wrong last year means that they can do it again. Because I watched 17 years before last year where they did not prove people wrong. 17 years in a row, they did not prove people wrong because they did it once. That should make me think they could do it two times in a row. The percentages on that don't seem to line up. I don't think, though, I would take them having a top pick. Maybe I would. Maybe I would take them having a top pick right now. Because what are the Bills' goals for this year? Now, the Bills will tell you their goals are to go all the way, win the Super Bowl, obviously, make the playoffs. But sitting here today, I think a realistic goal for the Bills is not about the Bills. It's about Josh Allen. Do we really... What's more important to Bills fans out there? I think most of them would give you the same answer. Their win-loss record or Josh Allen showing up and being great. Because I think most Bills fans would tell you they'd rather have Josh Allen look amazing, look like Deshaun Watson had looked last year, and go 5-11 than they would go 9-7 with A.J. McCarron as their quarterback. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on the nightcap. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Hey, what's going on?
Good.
Well, we've had this problem for almost 3 years. We lost all our receivers. Speaking of speed, we had Goodwin. He was super fast.
Yep.
We had Sammy. We had Woods, which is a superstar now. And
Hogan was their fourth receiver, or third receiver, and Goodwin was the fourth, but yeah.
We had Hogan, super hands. We had all of those receivers, and one by one, gone, gone, gone. And everybody was saying, oh, Tyrod's terrible. He's holding on to the ball. Well, look what we had to throw to, the same people that we have now, basically. And Clay was hurt, everybody was hurt, and there was nobody for him to throw to. And we've seen that When we seen that San Diego game, everybody wanted Peterman to release it. Look what happened. It looks like these guys are open, but they can't get the real separation, because when you think they got it, defensive backs make you think that it's there, but it's never really there unless you really got really know those routes and you're an elite receiver. And that's why Tyrod will probably have an 8 to 11 season this year. And it'll be a smooth transition with the quarterback they have, because they're so similar.
Mm-hmm.
And he has that, and that attitude that he has, he'll be a good mentor to Baker Mayfield. I think that the Browns are probably going to have a good season. And I just think that we've had this problem a long time. We should have kept somebody. We should have kept some kind of receiver, because going into this, even though we're going to have a good quarterback, it's going to be the same thing. And Tyrod had a 24-per-game season then.
Yep,
we really didn't plan for this. It's really, really bad to me.
No, I agree. They had, Steve, thanks for the call. They had four wide receivers that are now number one or number two guys on good teams. Watkins is a number one? Yeah, no, two. Maybe, because it's kind of a trio there, because Travis Kelce's great and Tyreek Hill's great. So he's one of the top guys on Kansas City. Robert Woods is one of the top guys in L.A., playoff team. Marquise Goodwin is the number two slash number one. Him and Garcon are there in San Francisco, who was not great last year, but with Garoppolo they were great. So like, they're, a lot of people have them making the playoffs this year. He's a top receiver there. And then Hogan is one of the top guys in New England. That's four receivers you let walk out the door. And I'd be fine with that if we had some young developmental, some draft picks that they had gone out and replaced them with. But they haven't done that. They've replaced them with a downgrade from Sammy Watkins in that 2014 draft class to Kelvin Benjamin. Like, think about that for a second. They could have had either Sammy Watkins or Odell Beckham long-term from that 2014 draft class. And we ended up with Kelvin Benjamin. Maybe not long-term, but that's who we've got right now. And if you ranked wide receivers out of that draft class, you would not be in the top couple. You'd probably have Brandon Cooks ahead of him. You'd certainly have Beckham ahead of him. Watkins should be ahead of him. There's other names, too, that I'm not even thinking of right now. That, like, that receiving class obviously was stacked. But you let all those guys walk out the door. And the other thing that worries me is where Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott came from, the Carolina Panthers. That was a team that when they were winning, but they did not have great talent at receiver. They had Benjamin, and not even the Super Bowl year they didn't have Benjamin, because he had torn ACL. And then they had Ted Ginn. They had Ted Ginn, and then Devin Funchess. Like, just guys. And that's what worries me. They came from a team that didn't put great value on the skilled positions. And when you're looking at quarterbacks that might have some flaws, like they even had with Cam Newton in Carolina, who had accuracy issues, and maybe Josh Allen's going to have accuracy issues here. To me, you would want those skill positions to be as good as possible, to surround that quarterback with talent. Kind of like Kansas City's doing with Pat Mahomes right now. Like, that's how I would want to do it. Kansas City's going to put Mahomes in there this year for his first season. When he's looking around to pass, he's got Travis Kelce down the middle of the field. He's got Tyreek Hill for screens and a guy that can stretch it. He has Sammy Watkins, who he can just throw it up to whenever he wants, and he could come down with the ball. Or he has Kareem Hunt, who he could check it down to. Wherever Pat Mahomes is going to look this season, he's got a great offensive weapon. If Josh Allen gets in a game, unless he's looking to dump it off to LeSean McCoy, he's not looking at one elite talent. Let's go to Lawrence. Lawrence, you're on the nightcap. What's going on?
Hi, yeah. Well, first thing I want to say, you're definitely right about everything you said about the receivers. I felt like we should have at least kept Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin that have been on the cheaper end.
Yep.
Kind of understand the money with Sammy, but wouldn't it have been the same for the fifth-year option as it would have been for Benjamin?
Say that again?
I said if we kept Sammy on the fifth-year option, wouldn't it have been the same as keeping Benjamin on the first-year option? I mean, fifth-year option?
Money-wise, I think Watkins maybe would have been a little higher because he was a higher pick, but I'm not actually sure about that.
Oh, okay. Because I would have rather had Sammy than Benjamin. But as far as optimism, I remember in 2010, we had Ryan Fitzpatrick, D.B. Johnson killing it, and nobody knew who these guys was before the season started. and the offense looked great. We was 4-12 that year, but the offense put up a lot of points and everything like that. So maybe the offense could find, you know, a Stevie Johnson type player out of Zay Jones or something like
right.
that.
Right. Lawrence, are you talking about not 2010? Are you talking about 2011 where they started 4-1?
No, not even that season. Even
okay.
The offense was good then, but I'm talking about the 2010 season. Because I thought they was going to play horrible that year, and the offense played pretty well.
Yeah.
We lost a lot of them games because they was putting up, we put up 30, and they put up 35 against us.
Lawrence, thanks for the call, man. Am I remembering 2010 wrong? I mean, they went 4-12. I do remember the defense being truly awful. But does that automatically mean the offense was good? I'm not sure about that. 2011, they were certainly better than most people expected. With Chan Gailey as the coach, it was the same thing over and over, though. It was either a screen to Spiller, or it was a slant to Stevie Johnson or David Nelson. Like, that was kind of their whole offense, I felt like. Could they be that? I guess they could, but if you remember even about that 2011 season, when the offense started so well, like midway through the year, when teams started getting film on them and realizing, hey guys, they're just kind of throwing it, they're throwing slants over the middle. Let's make Fitz throw long or to the outside. And it kind of ended right there. So I don't know if that's the best example of, well, this offense could be great this year. That was kind of a, let's be honest, that offense was kind of a poser. They had a couple great weeks, and they caught some teams off guard, and then when teams got some film on them, like, oh, this is pretty easy to shut down, we're just going to do this. 803-0550, Lawrence, thanks for the call. Taking your calls on giving me some optimism for this Bills season. I am near rock bottom when it comes to optimism for this year, but I'm still excited for the season, so give me a reason to be even more excited. 803-0550 is the phone number. We will get to Eric Winston in the second hour. A lot of good things to say on A.J. McCarron. And at 8 o'clock, I'm going to rank quarterbacks in the AFC East. Find out where I've got the Bills quarterbacks at. That's at 8 o'clock. Winston at 8:30. We will carry Jim Kelly, who will be accepting the Jimmy V Award at the ESPYs. We'll carry that live here on WGR. We're not quite sure when that is going to happen. The ESPYs start at 8 o'clock. You can catch that over on ESPN 1520. But we'll carry Jim Kelly's speech live here on WGR when it happens, so stay tuned for that as well. That's all coming at you. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi, Kyle Powell, and Victor Powell right here on WGR.
Right. I hope AJ gets a shot. I really do. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a tricky situation up there with a first-round pick and how that always happens. But, yeah, AJ's a gunslinger. And you got to love that sort of style to really like AJ. He's a guy that's going to go out there. He has huge confidence in himself. And I really believe, and I don't say that as a negative, of course. I say that as a positive because I think in that position, you have to believe you're going to be able to get the ball into a few pockets that most people would say you can't.
NFL Player Association President Eric Winston on with One Bills Live earlier today. We're going to play that back at 8:30. If you don't want to wait that long, you can listen to it now, I guess, instead of me. That's on demand at WGR550.com or on the radio.com app. So we're not going to play back Greg Brady today from Chopin the Bulldog. That is also on demand. That was about the Kawhi Leonard trade today to the Raptors. And, excuse me, I really think if, like, they had to have talked to him first, right? Like, there's reports out there that he might not play for Toronto, that he might sit out again, which, by the way, is just so petty on his part. But if, like, just on paper, I love the trade for Toronto. Because that would give them the best player in the Eastern Conference. Like, that's the team that can't get over the hump of beating the best team in the conference. Like, they had the best team possible, the best coach, they had the best supporting cast, and they couldn't beat LeBron James. They just couldn't do it. Even when it was the worst Cleveland team he ever had, they couldn't beat him. And now he's in the West, and I get it. Acquiring him means now you have the best player in that conference, which is what you couldn't get over before. But if he doesn't want to play there, he doesn't want to play there. You can't really force him. You should, I mean, he is under contract, so you should be able to in terms of that. I don't even know how that works. Like, if he sat out this whole year, they wouldn't be able to go to, like, file a complaint and say, hey, he didn't live out the terms of his contract, so he can't become a free agent. Like, I feel like there'd have to be something written down about that, no?
Some code of conduct or a clause somewhere.
Yeah, something. Yeah, that would say, like, all right, Kawhi, if you're not going to play for them, then you can't just go to free agency. Like, you didn't live up to the terms of your contract. If he decides to play for them, even if it's for 1 year, I like the trade, though, for the Raptors. Because I don't think he'll stay there. But if he plays this year, like, at this point, Philly's coming because they've got two young superstars, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Boston is coming. They've got a couple good veterans in Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, but they've got young players that are on the up too, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Like, they're going to be good for a long time. Philly's going to be good for a long time. Kyle Lowry, your point guard, he's getting up there. He's still really, really good, but at some point he's going to hit that cliff. So why not go all out for it this year? I love that. Especially the way your past couple years have gone. Swing for the fences. But that changes to me if he doesn't want to play for you at all. Like, if he's going to sit out, then it looks really bad, because then you just traded your best player and you got Danny Green out of it, who I'm supposing most people listening right now have never heard of before. Good player, but, like, he's not a star by any means. 803-0550 is the phone number. I'm looking for optimism. Reasons I should be optimistic for the upcoming Bills season, because I am pretty low on it right now. I think they're at 4 or 5 wins sitting here today. Training camp begins a week from tomorrow. The players report a week from today. We'll be live from there. Shopin' the Bulldog will be live from there on Thursday and Friday of next week. And lots of buildup going. There's going to be quarterback competition, so that should make a very interesting training camp. Next on the Nightcap, I'm going to rank quarterbacks in the AFCs. That's coming up. Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Kyle Powell on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.